Mrs. Summers returns and sits beside me on the bench, smiling in her uncomfortable way. In the bald patches of her sparse eyebrows, the skin glows red. "Is this all a dream?" she asks me. "No, Mrs. Summers," I answer, gathering my things. "She lies, you know."
"What do you mean?" I ask.
Those plucked brows give Mrs. Summers a disturbing appearance, like some demon unleashed from a medieval painting. "I hear them. They talk to me. Tell me things."
"Mrs. Summers, who talks to you and tells you things?"
"They do," she says, as if I should understand. "They've told me. She's not what she seems. Such wicked things she's done. She's in league with the bad ones, miss. I hear her in her room at night. Such wicked, wicked things. Watch yourself, miss. They're coming for you. They're all coming for you."
Mrs. Summers grins, showing teeth too tiny for her mouth. Shoving the newspaper clippings into my handbag, I back away and bolt inside, walking briskly through the halls, past the sewing classes and the tuneless piano and the squawkings of Cassandra. I pick up speed till I am nearly in a run. By the time I reach the carriage and Kartik, I am completely out of breath.
"Miss Doyle, what is the matter? Where is your brother?"
he says, glancing nervously around.
"He says to come back for him," I say in bursts.
"What's the matter? You're flushed. I'll take you home."
"No, not there. I need to speak with you, alone." Kartik takes in the spectacle of me, panting for breath and obviously shaken.
"I know a place. I've never taken a young lady there, but it's the best I can think of at the moment. Do you trust me?"
"Yes," I say. He offers his hand and I grasp it, climbing into the carriage, letting Kartik take the reins and my fate into his hands. We travel across Blackfriars Bridge into the grimy, dark heart of East London, and I begin to have second thoughts about letting Kartik lead the way. The streets are narrow and rough here. Vegetable sellers and butchers scream out from their wagons.
"Potatoes, carrots, peas, sweet cuts of lamb, no joint to speak of."
Children crowd about us, begging for anything. Coins, food, scraps, work. They compete for my attention.
"Miss, miss," they cry,
offering help of every variety for a coin or two. Kartik pulls the carriage to a stop in an alley behind a butcher's shop. The children are on me, tugging at my coat.
"Oi!"
Kartik shouts, using a Cockney accent I've never heard.
"Ouya knows about the skull and the sword, eh?"
The children's eyes go wide at this mention of the Rakshana.
"Right,"
Kartik continues.
"So you better well clear out, if you know what I mean."
Instantly, the children scatter. Only one boy remains, and Kartik flicks him a shilling.
"Watch the coach, Gov,"
he says.
"Right,"
the boy answers, pocketing the coin. "That was impressive," I say, as we make our way over mucky streets. Kartik allows himself one small, triumphant smile.
"Whatever it takes to survive."
Kartik stays a pace ahead of me. He has a hunter's walk, all hunched shoulders and wary steps. We turn down one twisted street of dilapidated houses, and then another. At last we come into a short lane and stop before a small tavern sandwiched tightly between other buildings, intent on crowding it out. We approach the heavy wooden door. Kartik knocks in a succession of short raps. A crude peephole in the door is opened from the inside, revealing an eye. The peephole closes, and we are let in. The place is dark and smells of the most delicious curry and incense. Big men sit at tables, stooped over steaming plates of food, their dirt-stained hands wrapped around pints of ale as if they were the only possessions worth guarding. Now I can see why Kartik has never brought a lady here before. From what I can tell, I am the only one here now.
"Am I in danger?" I whisper through clenched teeth.
"Not any more than I am. Just go about your business and don't look at anyone, and you will be fine."
Why do I feel that this response makes Kartik very much like governesses who tell their charges grisly fairy tales before bed and then expect them to sleep peacefully through the night?
He leads me to a table in the back under a low-beamed ceiling. The whole place has a feeling of being underground, like a rabbit warren. "Where are you going?" I ask frantically the moment Kartik starts to walk away. "Shh," he says, finger to his lips.
"I shall surprise you."
Yes, that is what I am afraid of. I fold my hands on the rough wooden table and try to disappear.